Now that the mic is on and being recorded, I'm going to say good evening. Okay, here we are. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. There it is. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which are of old, men of renown. No, I'm not going to be preaching on all this stuff tonight. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for this book and for what it shows us about ourselves and about the great God that we have. I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to preach as you want me to. I do pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit, be here in a special way, and deal with your people. And I pray this would be edifying to them, and I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up here tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of stuff. In those six verses. But like I said, I'm not going to get into the interesting stuff. It's just going to be it'll be a boring sermon tonight. So sorry. Verse 5 is what I wanted to concentrate on tonight. And God saw the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Tonight I want to preach on imaginations, or imagine. The imagination of man can be a very powerful tool, and I had a Christian one time come up to me and say that imaginations are always bad in the Bible. They're always bad, and no, they're not. Imaginations can actually be good if done in the right way and done under the right Lord. I know this: you need an imagination to build things. When you're building a deck or you're going to say, I'm looking at my house, I want to add on my house, and I'm going to picture, that's okay. You can use your imagination doing that. Drawing pictures, or painting, you have to use your imagination at times in that. And I'm not talking about like Picasso and all that stuff. I hate to admit it, but I used to like Van Gogh, and Brother Ruckman ruined that for me anyway. But, the imagination can be good or it can be bad. I know when I was, I spent a few years in the charismatic movement, and I used to read a lot of their stuff, hear a lot of sermons. And, they started using occultic techniques with the imagination. Like I said, the imagination could be a powerful tool. And the imagination, Satan can use your imagination to turn you away from the Lord, but the imagination is also a doorway into the spirit realm, and it can be used that way, and you got to watch out for that. As I was saying, there was this pastor down in Kansas City, and he was putting forth how to pray. He was teaching on prayer. And what he did was, he said, well, go to Revelation chapter 4. And you got the throne of God there, and you got the four beasts, and you got the glassy sea, and the rainbows, and all this other stuff. And he goes, just imagine all of that. Imagine that. Picture that. And then picture the throne. And picture Jesus Christ on that throne. And he says, now speak to that Jesus. Pray to that. That's idolatry. And he goes, and lo and behold, he may talk back to you. Oh, I think he might. It's called shamanism. It's called... Indians, like the Indian, like
I'm getting all confused here because I'm trying to, Indians in America, you know, Native Americans, that's it, you know. That's what they did. That's what their witch doctors did, you know. That's what a lot of the occults do, the occult. They use their imaginations, you know. They used to sit there and fast and hang on a pole and get their, you know, get themselves worked up in a frenzy, and they try to, you know, contact the great white buffalo in the spirit realm. You know, hey, a devil will show up as a great white buffalo just as much as he'll show up as Jesus Christ sitting on a throne. He does not care. So the imagination could be a powerful tool. And like I said, the imagination can also be used. I mean, you could start imagining things, you know, things, thoughts go through you. And I'll tell you, you know, I sometimes imagine where am I going to be in 30 years, which is not a good thing to imagine. Personally, in 30 years, I just want to be with the Lord. That's all I want, okay? I don't want to live another 30 years. I mean, if the Lord wants to, that's fine, but I'm not sure if I'm going to last 30 years. So, because I'm just burning out. No. Anyway, but the imagination, you know, it can take you on a path that brings you to a place where you're going to turn away from the Lord. And the devil can use it in that way also. Today I'm going to talk about kind of at least the main part of the sermon. I'm going to talk about the bad things about what the Bible says about man's imaginations. Now, the title of the sermon is called Imagine. The text that we have here today, of course, says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can you imagine that? I mean, most people you walk up to, and you talk to them, they would not, listen, even when I was lost, I never would have thought, you know, myself or my thoughts to be only evil continually. Can you imagine what the people were like back then? There's nothing new under the sun. People haven't changed. I know this, that man's imaginations are only evil continually, for the most part. You think about this. In Proverbs 21, it says that, I'll just read that real quick. But in Proverbs 21 and verse 4, it says, "In high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." You know, a lost man imagining building a deck to God is sin because it's not done. He's not saved. God may have mercy on him. God may have long suffering on that man. But if that man or woman is lost, you know what? The imaginations of his heart are only evil continually. And we got to watch it as Christians that our imaginations don't go that way. Because just because you're saved, listen, if you're saved here today, if you've been born again, and if that annoys you, that's okay. You know what? You have the power to, you can now control your thoughts the way God wants you to. Your thoughts can glorify Him. If you're lost, your thoughts aren't glorifying God. It's all done for you. I was talking to one of the guys I work with, and he was talking about doing, you know, like you go to feed the poor or something, you know. And I actually had a sister write me and ask me, you know, wouldn't it be a good thing for all our brothers and sisters to get together and go to feed the poor and help feed the poor? And I wrote her back. I says, I cannot participate in that ministry. They compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that didn't go. But, you know, but man, when they do stuff, they imagine that that's good. And you know what? It's not. It's not done for the Lord. It's done to make them feel good. Listen, if you're doing something to make you feel good, listen, my dog does that. My dog's entire existence is to feel good. He's got to fill his belly. He's sleeping. He wants you to play with him. But that's all that's, you know, aren't we better than beasts, you know? And I'll tell you this, that's one of the things about man's imaginations. They are only evil continually. And even when they appear to be doing good, you know what? The imaginations of their hearts, only evil continually. They're lost. They're going to hell. And their thoughts do not glorify God. You can't even start to glorify God in the sense of being in God's will for your life until you get saved, until you get in to the family of God. That is the first step. And I know this, Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, was lost. And God used him for his glory. That's another, that's a different thing I'm talking about. But I'm talking about, you know, God's will for a person's life, for a lost person. In Proverbs chapter 6, I'll tell you this, in verse 18 it says, one of the things that's an abomination unto him is an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. You know? And I know this, I mean, you have to watch out. You have to watch out for the movies you watch, for certain things, because I'll tell you this, Hollywood puts out a lot of things that they imagine. And a lot of it is against God. A lot of it ends up being against God. And you just got to watch out what you're letting, you know, because those images come in. And a lot of times, you know, this is now an image-based culture. And when you get images in your mind, sometimes it's hard to get them out. That's why a lot of the things that I did when I was lost, and it does get better over the years, but there are times when all that, some of that stuff comes back, you know, and it's like, you got to push it out. I can't dwell on it. I can't, you know, let my imagination run wild, you know. I can't sit there and imagine, boy, what would it be like to go back, you know, and live the way I was living? What would it be like to be in the bar? I was so happy then. I wasn't happy. I was, you know, I was heading down, you know, down the wrong way, and I really wasn't happy. The only time I was happy when I was lost was when I was drunk or high, and it wasn't a real happiness. It wasn't a happiness based in the Word of God. But man's imaginations are only evil continually, and you got to watch that. You got to watch that. We live in a society today too that's very drunken, and you know, we got Christians out there. It's okay to drink. I come across on certain little news sites that I go to. Basically, there's a book out there called What Would Jesus Drink? A Spirit-Filled Study. Let's just go to the Scripture, really, really twist it, so that we could justify our drinking, you know. And how much is too much? Well, Calvin said you could drink moderately. And I get pleasure out of a good beer or wine. Or maybe Jack Daniels. I wouldn't buy Christian Brothers Distillery because they're Catholic. You know, that's, we wouldn't want to do that. But you know what? Man's imagination leads to a lot of things. And it leads to people justifying, basically it justifies sin. And you got to watch where your thoughts lead and what you do with your imagination. You got to watch how the world puts things into your head and gets you thinking not like the Bible. You got to watch that. You do not want to, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be at the place where God looks at your thoughts. And listen, if you're saved, you're saved. But you can still have thoughts that grieve God at his heart. You know what? You're sealed until the day, you know, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. But why should we spend our lives as Christians grieving the Holy Spirit of God, you know, with our thoughts and with what we do with our thoughts? You know, you got to look at this. You know, there are some things, you know, you get to a place where there are some things that are preached and you say, you know, it used to be, yeah, that's really good. And now, like this pastor in Indiana, you know, or whatever it is, he's saying that it annoys him, saved and born again. How did he get there? I think his imagination is running wild. I think personally he's thinking a little too highly of himself too. But I'll tell you this, one of the first things you get to in the Bible with imaginations, or man's imaginations, is that they're only evil continually. They're only evil continually. Go to Psalm chapter 2. You wonder why we're in the problem we're in today? Man's imaginations. God sent that flood, and when he sent that flood, he killed little babies. He killed old people. He killed everybody because the imaginations of their heart were only evil continually. And we're heading down the same road. We're heading down the same road. In Psalm chapter 2, this is, of course, a second coming context. But in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know where imaginations, man's imaginations will lead you to rage. And, you know, these people, this imagination that the people imagine a vain thing, they're in a rage. You know, you look at the Arab Spring and what's going on there. You know, Democracy, democracy. Yeah, right. If you believe that, then you're imagining it's fantasy land. You know, it's not happening. There is no democracy that's going to happen under Islamic rule. I'm sorry. But, you know, these people, they're around. And they're having these riots. And we get on, you know, Twitter. So where are you going to be at 5:10 p.m.? Because we're going to have a riot, you know. And, you know, I think that's kind of what caused, or not what caused, but what kind of organized the riots over in London. You got people all around the world. You know, Greece is having riots. Why do the heathen rage? Because they imagine a vain thing. You know, not only do man's imaginations cause rage, but they're vain. Our imaginations are vain. If your imagination is not based in the Lord Jesus Christ and in this book, it's vain, it's empty, and it's going to lead to rage. You know, I was just reading a news blurb the other day, and you wonder, you know, I agree more and more with Dr. Rucka when he says the media is going to kill you, basically. That's what he said. I'll guarantee, you know, so they're quoting Mayor Bloomberg out of New York City. And they keep pushing this and pushing this. And you got people out there, they're just brainwashed. They're like robots, you know. And he says, you know, if the economy doesn't get better, we're going to have riots. Because I can see how desperate these young people are when they don't have... They're putting this stuff out there. They're pushing it out there. They're putting it in the people's imaginations. They're basically preparing and starting these riots. They're pushing these riots. Why? You know where that comes from? Man's imaginations. You know, and you know what? Whether they happen or not, well, I'm sure that eventually they're going to happen. We're going to see some riots because they're preparing for it. That's how they did the L.A. riots. You know, they prepare, they do certain things certain ways, and they take the police force and whittle it down, and they get to a place where all of a sudden, you know, and you know what, these riots, you know, it used to be during the Great Depression, was there rioting? I mean, there may have been some, but you know what? They waited in lines, they got their food, it wasn't that way. Now, you know, we have riots at the drop of a hat, you know, and the media pushes it, they want it. You know, they want them to happen, partially because they want something to report. It's kind of exciting to report about riots. And you know what, these kids over in London, well, you know, these rich people, I stole the TV out of that store over there because of those rich people that oppress us. Rage against the machine. Ah, you know, it's like, you got to be kidding me. It wasn't a rich person that you stole the TV from, you know. People that can't think, their imaginations are vain. And the way, the generation that we have today and how it's being raised, there's a lot of them that it's like instant rage, instant anger, you know. Let's do a riot. Why? Because we're being oppressed. Man, we still live in a good country, you know. We still are allowed to do a lot of things in this country. I mean, it is going downhill, and morally it stinks. But I'll tell you this, you know, you try to get in the minds of these people, and basically they just want something for nothing. They want an excuse to go rip off somebody, and they want to be justified in doing it. And you know what? The media basically kind of justifies them, you know? And I just can't believe it. Who are these people? Mayor Bloomberg. There's going to be riots in New York City. Yeah, I suppose there will be. Why don't you just keep reporting it every day? And, you know, maybe there'll be one that materializes, you know. Just check your Twitter account. Man's imaginations are vain. And that causes rage. I'll tell you this, as Christians in this church, your imaginations can run wild. You know, you can imagine that a Christian is thinking something about you and it gets you angry. You can imagine that they looked at you the wrong way. Or because they said a certain thing and you imagine... I mean, it grows and grows and grows. And you know what? You start getting angry and angry. You get angry at the brethren. You get angry at God. And it's like, where's all this rage coming from? Your vain imaginations that has nothing to do with the book. You know, I don't know how many Christians, that's where it starts. You know, we've had people leave this church, and that is where it started. Their vain imaginations. They didn't try to bring their thoughts in line with this book. Another thing, look at this, Romans chapter 1, talking about vain imaginations. Gets us sick of this world and just where it's headed. Romans 1:21 says, because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Well, what about the pygmy in the middle of Africa? What about him? He knows there's a God. And if he dies and goes to hell, it's because he didn't glorify Him as God. And it says, and he wasn't thankful. Neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know what? Well, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I mean, don't you see that out there? I mean, they're running around. We are so smart. You're a fool. You're a fool. And you know what? Their imaginations were vain, and those vain imaginations, not only do they lead to rage, but they lead to verse 26 here. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their woman to change the natural use unto that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. You know what they're doing now? They did it about, I don't know, it was about 30 years ago, but whatever, the American Psychology Association or whatever came out and said, you know, homosexual, because it used to be a mental disorder. Now, I'm not into psychology or anything else, and there's many reasons why, but, oh, so it used to be a mental disorder, but now homosexuality is normal. You know what they're contemplating now to say is normal? Pedophilia. And what's next? Bestiality. You say, oh, that will never happen. Wow, look what's happening right now. You don't think it'll happen? It's happened before. Nothing new under the sun. And where does it come from? Man's imaginations. Because they're vain, they're empty, they're not thinking on the right things. You know, I'll guarantee you it's going to be against the law one time for you to speak out against the Roman Catholic priests who are, you know, I wonder if they're behind that. You wonder. Then they can be out from all these lawsuits. They have to pay out millions and billions of dollars. You know, amazing, amazing. You know, and you know what that does? That sucks out of the carnival fund, you know, where they have the beer tabs and everything else. I mean, man, I can't believe it. Man's imaginations are vain, and man's imaginations lead to rage. And these vain imaginations lead to a lot of things that we see today. Go to Jeremiah 7, Jeremiah chapter 7. There's not a lot good to say about man's imaginations. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 24. Well, actually, we'll start in verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. You shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You know where man's imaginations lead to? They lead to disobedience. I'm having a problem talking tonight. They lead to disobedience. They lead to a place where you are going to disobey the book. Because, you know what? The Bible, it doesn't mean what it says there. It really doesn't. And I read this other commentary where it kind of agrees with where I'm headed. So that's what I'm going to stick with. I'll tell you this. You let your imaginations run wild, and you'll start disobeying God, and you won't even know it. You'll think that you're just fine, you know. And yet, do you think these Israelites knew that they were, until they read the Bible, until they went to the Bible and had a right heart about what the Bible said, they didn't feel the wrath of God, you know. In fact, their imaginations got to a place where when God judged them for worshiping the Queen of Heaven, and then He said, you got to quit, and they did quit for a while, but they said, you know what? Once we quit, all this bad stuff started happening. No, that's the judgment of God for your idolatry for all those years. You know? You need to quit and stay quit. And yet they're sitting here thinking that because they quit worshiping the Queen of Heaven, that these bad things were happening, so we better go back. I still like it when they go up to Jeremiah and they say, you know, you need to go to the Lord, please go to the Lord, and just ask, what does He want us to do? So he goes and he prays, he comes back a few days later, and he says, well, the Lord wants you to stay in the land. We're not going to do it. Why? Because of their imaginations. The imaginations of their heart was only, it led to their disobedience. Listen, unless Jeremiah came back and told them what they wanted to hear, They weren't going to do it anyway. I mean, it's amazing. Go, please. Go. And well, you know what? I don't think that's what the Lord said. I just don't think so. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 14, it says, but have walked, talking about Israel, after the imagination of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Now, why do we have vain imaginations? Well, a lot of times we copy our fathers. We copy our ancestors. You know? And it leads to idolatry. And you think, wow, man, that's okay. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay to disobey God in this area or that area. Because, you know, people, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know. And so, because I'm going through special circumstances, I can disobey the Lord. You know what? Man's imaginations lead to disobedience. They lead to disobedience. In Jeremiah 13, verse 10, it says, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, there, that's where it starts. You refuse to hear God's words. And sometimes, you know, people, they profess the Lord, but their heart is far from Him. And they refuse to hear His words because they're letting their imaginations run wild. You know? I'll guarantee you that that pastor in Indiana let his imaginations run wild. And then he gets to a place where, well, we don't want to ostracize the world now, do we? Yes, actually, we do. We do want to get out there. And listen, if you're not out in the front standing for Jesus Christ and letting them know where you stand, you will fall. They will suck you in and suck you under. And it'll happen quicker than you think. And ultimately it happens because you refuse to hear God's words and you let your imaginations run wild. Your imaginations will start justifying where you're at and what you're doing. Go to Deuteronomy 29. So imagine man's imaginations are only evil continually. Man's imaginations are vain and they cause rage. Man's imaginations lead to disobedience. And here in Deuteronomy 29, verse 19. And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. Look at that. He's saying, this is at a place where this Israel is disobeying God, and God's saying, this is what's going to happen. And when you hear the words of this curse, that, you know, this is what's going to happen if you don't follow God, God's going to forsake you, you're saying in your heart, I shall have peace. And then you say, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunk. Listen, the imagination that this man is walking in is not, you know, basically captive to the Word of God, obedient to the Word of God. This is his own imagination, his own evil imaginations. And you know what? He even says, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst, you know what? I'm going to have peace. You know what man's imaginations will lead you to? It'll lead you to a false peace. A false peace. One of the verses I like to quote, and there's two of them in two different places in Proverbs, when I witness to people, because I don't know how many times that I've talked with people on a doorstep or wherever, and what do they say? They say, well, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm fine. I'm just fine. I know that where I'm headed, it's just fine, you know? And the Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's also in Proverbs 16 and verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, you can't go by what you think or what you imagine in your heart, because your own imaginations will lead you to believe that you have peace, that you have peace with God, that everything is just fine, and I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm comfortable in my religion. So why do you keep bothering me? Why? Why do you keep bothering me? I have this newsletter from the Castellas. It's probably back there too, but this is their latest newsletter. Angie, and this I've gotten many times from lost people that I've talked to, but Angie, who's Brother Castellas' wife, she was witnessing to a Lutheran theologian over there. And over in Germany, you either have Lutherans or you have Catholics. You know, I mean, that's a lot of what Germany is, Roman Catholics and Lutherans. And in a lot of ways, they're very similar. But the Lutheran pastor answers what she had to say, and he says, in my youth, I always felt the expectation to have a conversion testimony. Sounds like some other people were witnessing to him, too. Says, complete with time, date, and location. He says he felt it was a pressure. Yeah, that's right. Have you been saved? Has there been a time in your life where you have truly realized that you were lost, headed for hell, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in what this man has put his faith and trust in? It says here, which seemed more like the law than the gospel. So basically, believing on Jesus Christ alone, he's saying, is a law. His imaginations are running wild, I think. He says, it always sounded like, show me what you know. Why should I? Why should I, who was born, baptized, and happily grew up as a Christian, was confirmed, feel like I belong to God and studied theology, not be a beloved child of God without a conversion experience? Because you need to be converted in order to be saved. Baptism will not do it. Confirmation will not do it. You need to realize, listen, I grew up as a Roman Catholic. I was baptized. I don't think I ever went to confession, really, and which probably was a good thing. Kept me, you know, I was an altar boy. I went through confirmation. And you know what? I had people witnessing to me, and at first I would be like, I know Jesus. I know him. Yeah, he died for my sins. Yep, he's my Savior. It wasn't until I realized that I was lost. I had to come to a place where I realized I was lost and headed for hell so that I could receive and put my faith and trust alone in what Jesus Christ did on that cross 2,000 years ago. I had to come to a place when I was getting to the place of getting saved, I had to make a choice about this book. Am I going to believe what my parents, my grandparents, what I grew up in, am I going to believe the traditions I was taught? Or am I going to believe what the Bible says? And you know what? I chose the Bible. Now, I wasn't saved when I chose the Bible, but that led to my salvation in believing what the Bible said about what Jesus Christ had done for me. I struggled for a couple months, and finally, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, and you know, I had read some charismatic-y type books, and like Crossing the Switchblade, you ever heard David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz and all that. I actually, Liz and I got a chance to meet Nikki, hear him preach and stuff. He actually wasn't too bad of a preacher, you know, pretty passionate Puerto Rican, you know. But anyway, you know, I'm reading all these books. So when I bowed down and I said, you know what, Lord, in your book it says that if I know I'm going to hell and I don't want to go there, and in your book it says that if I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you'd save me. So I'm expecting like this lightning bolt, or the roof to open up and this light. I was expecting like this burden of sin, and I had a burden of sin. I roll off my back to feel the love of God surround me. None of that happened. Nothing. I didn't feel nothing. I'm like, man, I felt gypped out. But you know what? I realized as the Lord started showing me stuff through the Bible that, you know what? It has nothing to do with feelings. It has nothing to do with the experience per se. But it has to do with what this book said about what the Savior had did for me and if I would receive that and believe that. You know, and first, you know, it starts with the Bible. It always starts with the Bible. You can't approach the Bible as just any old kind of book. Paul writes, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know? Do you think you're okay? Have you always believed you were a Christian? Do you believe you're a Christian because you got baptized or confirmed or you're in a certain church? Listen, you're not going to be a Christian just because you're in this church. You know? You're going to be a Christian because you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You receive that payment that He made as the ultimate payment, the only payment. Your good works, your church membership cannot be added to that. It's by faith alone. Faith alone in the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone, and it's not appropriated by baptism. Man's imaginations lead to a false peace. You know, you have in Daniel 11, talking about prophetically about the Antichrist, he obtains a kingdom by flatteries. Verse 21 of chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "He shall enter peaceably." You watch out for those people that are always talking about peace, and behind them they got a sword ready to stab you in the back. I'll tell you one thing, the Pope and other leaders that talk so much about peace, they're the ones that cause the wars, you know, until everything is, you know, underneath their thumb. And God will allow it. God will allow that to happen. Go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Imagine that man's imaginations lead to a lot of things, and ultimately it just leads to hell. Hell on earth and hell for eternity. I mean, war is just God's judgment on sin here. And, you know, and I've never been in a battle, and I don't want to be in a battle, but I do know this. Being in a military battle can probably be the closest thing to hell on this earth. And, you know, talk to people, "Do you believe in heaven or hell?" "No." "Well, you know, I believe in heaven, but, I believe hell is on earth." "Oh, yeah, you know. Well, you believe hell is because you ran out of your Hostess cupcakes or something?" I mean, what? I mean, you're talking to an American, United States, and they said, "We have more poor here. The percentage of poor has grown under Obama." Okay, yeah, fine, but look at those poor. They have better TV than I do. They have better stereo system than I do. Probably have, you know, better cars, better this and that, and they're poor. You know, I mean, poor in America is not like poor in the world, I'm sorry to say. But man's imaginations will lead to a false peace. Don't be there. Listen, I'll tell you this. If you haven't truly been saved, don't let that false peace take a hold. In Genesis chapter 11 here, of course, is the Tower of Babel. And they're building this tower so they can go up to heaven. They're uniting. This is a picture of what's coming prophetically. There's going to be a one-world government under a one-world religion. Oh, you conspiracy theorists? Yeah, it's Bible. It's Bible. You know, most of the conservative radio, not all, it's conspiracy this, conspiracy that. It's Bible. And since most of them don't believe in the New Testament anyway because they're Jews, they might have a problem with Revelation 17, you know. But it is Bible. It is Bible. Here in verse 6, the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Man's imagination can be a powerful thing, and the devil can use it to his own ends. And I'll tell you this, because of man's imaginations, it's leading the world to unify, to become one. And you look at Christianity today, and they say, we all need to come together, we all need to be one, so we can show the world the love of Jesus. That is of the devil. God will allow it to happen, and it's prophecy being fulfilled, but it is of the devil. It's of the devil. God is not for unification at the expense of the truth. And God is gathering these nations together so He can pour out His indignation on them, Zephaniah chapter 3. But I'll tell you this, this is God allowing the devil to do it. It's God allowing the devil to do it. Let me read you something. One of my favorite songs years ago when I was lost and headed for hell. It's called Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. And that is what people are doing and why we're in the problems we are in today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life. Listen, if there were no boundaries, no religions, no nothing, people would still be killing each other. Oh, I tell you. You may say that I'm a dreamer. Actually, who said I have a dream? Yeah, that man. You better watch out for that man, too. But I'm not the only one. That's right. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. Uh-oh. Is this communism? Is this basically taking away property that the Bible says is okay for you to have, and to say, if we just got rid of property and country lines and religious lines, and we need to become one so we can be at peace. If we can, and then when we become one, we come to the uni mind and become one with Mother Gaia, you know. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. Jesus Christ said the poor will always be with you. Okay? A brotherhood of man. A brotherhood of man. Brotherhood of man, fatherhood of God. What a pile of garbage. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say that I'm a dreamer. No, I say you're an idiot. But I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. You know what? The world will ultimately live as one. That was from John Lennon, by the way, from 1971, a little bit after the Beatles broke up. And I'll tell you one thing. It's songs like that. You want rock and roll is helping to lead this world to the worship of the beast. I'll guarantee you that. Oh, no, but it makes me feel good. But I listen to Christian rock. You know, no, I listen to Justin Bieber, or whatever his name is, and he's a Christian, and when he took an award, he said, Jesus loves you to everybody. So he must be a Christian. He's bold, too. He said, Jesus loves you. You've got to be kidding me, right? You watch out, because of your imaginations, you're going to help, don't help the world worship the image of the beast in the future. We should be against the spirit of this age. Listen, we may be in the church of the Laodiceans. We may be in the Laodicean church age or the church time, but we don't have to go along with it. We don't have to. We can go against the flow. We can actually, you know, be different. You know, all these people, they got pierced and this and that. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, one of my good friends, when I first got in the Marine Corps, and I was going to school in Memphis, and he took me around because he was from the punk rock scene up here in Minneapolis. And he took me around to the punk rock scene in Memphis. And we'd go to these thrash bars and everything. And, you know, people hitting each other, banging into each other. Got pretty violent. And, you know what you had in there? You had these runaways, 15, 16-year-old kids, runaways, you know, they're going to be different. They're going to fight against authority, you know, fight against, you know, and they're going to have their hair different, everything else. And they're not different. They're just like everybody else. And you know what? These 15, 16, 17-year-olds that ran away from home, they ran away from middle-class to upper-middle-class homes. They were spoiled brats is what they were. And they were rebelling against their creator. You know, and it's those people, you know. It's the people that'll be in these riots that'll be right there. Oh, the world will be as one. Listen to them. You know, there was a guy in the crowd that Obama was giving one of his lame speeches and said, I love you, Obama, I love you, man. And he said, if you love me, help me pass this jobs bill. You know, Obama the Messiah, right? If you love me. Listen, if Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I don't care what Obama says. Just watch out. Watch out what you take part of. Watch out who you get together with. You know, young people that are coming up and coming. Watch out who you get together with. You know, if they're not Bible believing Christians and walking right with the Lord, stay away from them. Don't bother with them. Don't make a decision in the flesh. You know, I really don't get into this. And this is a side note, but I don't get into this boyfriend girlfriend stuff. I don't like it. I think it's a waste of time. I think young people should be concerned with following and growing close to the Lord and then finding out what the Lord wants them to do for their life. Not even ready to get married. Man, I'll guarantee you make the wrong decisions in the wrong way and it'll turn out not well. It'll turn out bad. Man's imaginations lead to a lot of things. Zechariah chapter 8. And we're getting close to the end. See, I told you it was going to be 15, 20 minutes or something. It just feels like it to me. Feels like 15 to 20 minutes. So, and I'm kind of like in this like time warp, you know. I imagine. What did I say? Man, it's like, where is this place? Zechariah chapter 8. And verse 16 and 17. And it says here, there are things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. That's what we should be about. We should be about the truth and speaking the truth to our neighbors. Listen, if you love people, give them the truth. Give them the truth. It says here, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And kind of along the same line, Psalm 38, verse 12. Where am I going here? Psalm 38 and verse 12. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. And what does Jeremiah 17, verse 9 say? That the heart is deceitful above all things. Listen, if the imaginations of your heart, you know, are not going along with this book, you're deceiving yourself. And you think, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm under the protection of God, and I can't be deceived. Well, if that's what you think, you're already deceived. And your imaginations are kind of, they're not going according to the book. A Christian can be deceived just as much as a lost person. And you got to watch out for it. And man's imaginations, they lead to deceit. You got to watch how you think, what you dwell on. Because it will end up leading to deceiving yourself. And ultimately, if you're deceiving yourself, then you're really not going to be able to speak truth to your neighbor. All you're going to be able to give your neighbor is deceit also. You think Roman Catholic priests, you think they lie to the people. I think a lot of them may be sincere. They're just sincere liars. Some of them don't believe they're lying. They're just, out of the imaginations of their hearts, they've deceived themselves. They don't go along with the book. There's a lot of people that don't go along with the book. And, you know, you talk about Roman Catholics, there's Lutherans, there's Baptists, there's Methodists, Episcopalians, that don't go along with the book. And they're deceiving themselves. They think they're okay, you know, and they got certain things they bring out of the book as far as what they believe, and sometimes it's a little twisted, but they're deceiving themselves. And it's because they've let the imaginations of their hearts run wild and they didn't bring them in line with this book. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And listen, if you're lost here tonight, you need to get saved. You need to be born again. Born again. And I'm not talking about some funny kind of experience like... There was a guy I talked to at when I used to work at Ford on the line. I said, have you been born again? And he said, well, yeah. I go, well, what happened? How'd you become born again? And he said, well, one day I was at home, and I was going through a hard time, and I just felt the presence of God, and I said, you know, I want to change. That's not being born again. You know, I went to a 12-step meeting, and I quit drinking. Well, great. I'm glad you quit drinking. It's not being born again, you know. Listen, if you haven't been saved, you know, there are a lot of people in here that can show you what the Bible says about the way to salvation. A lot of times, you know, in some ways we kind of know what we need to do to get saved, but we hold back because of pride in our heart. Because I talked to a guy yesterday up in St. Cloud, and I mean, you know, I had one guy, you know, basically said, not interested in what you got. I respect what you're doing, though. What? If you respect what I'm doing, wouldn't you like take some? Listen, you don't have to tell me one person, I respect what you're doing, but I hate what you have to say. Well, I don't care if you respect what I'm doing. What in the world? That's not respect. I mean, you know, but it's just weird. People are weird. But this guy, he was sitting here saying you know, what I was doing was great, but you know what? I think he loved his sin. And a lot of times, that's what keeps people from getting saved. You know what? A lot of people sometimes, because they've been talked to before, you know, they've got a gospel tract here or there, or, you know, they've heard the gospel here or there, they know what to do, but because of whatever reason, because of pride, because of what their family might think, because of certain things they like to do that they know God doesn't want them to give up, and they know if they really get saved, they're going to have to, like, change. It keeps them from getting saved. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, if you're saved, look at this. Well, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Listen, don't get in the flesh. Don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And these are imaginations that are exalting themselves against God. It's not just every time you imagine something. You know, like I said, there's times that imaginations are okay. But you know what? It says here that bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You need to do that. Listen, you know when your thoughts wander. You know that what you're thinking sometimes is wrong. You know what's going on. You got to stop it. You got to discipline yourself to say, I'm not going to think this way. I'm not going to go down this road. I am not going to go down this road. And you got to bring those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And if you go to 1 Chronicles 29, and here is actually a place in the Bible that imaginations is talked about positively. And it probably is pretty much one of the only times. Let's see here. That's 2 Chronicles, so that's why it looks different. So, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 18. And it says, and this is in the middle of David's prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for what he's done for him, for giving him a son that's going to be on the throne, going to build the temple, all this stuff. But he says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart of thy people and prepare their heart unto thee. Listen, if your imaginations are prepared, you know, are focused on God, you know, are in the obedience of Jesus Christ, which is putting them in line with this book, then you know what? Your imagination is fine. It's fine and dandy. You just got to learn how to control your imagination and get it in line with this book. Romans chapter 12, familiar verse. Paul writes, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the mind is connected with the heart, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, you're not going to know the will of God for your life. You're not going to be in the will of God. You're going to be out of the will of God in many ways if you let your imaginations run wild. Don't let your imaginations take you out of the race. Don't let Satan be able to use your imaginations in whatever way to bring them to a place where they grieve a holy God. Good news is, here in Jeremiah chapter 3, one of these days, I'll tell you, it's all going to come to an end. God is going to be on the throne, and everything is going to be right. In Jeremiah 3:17, it says, At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered under it to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. I really wait for that day. I pray for that day that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Not just so really. I mean, there's a part of me that wants to get out of here. There's a part of me that just wants to go and get out of the battle and get to heaven and get out of the filth and get out of my own filth, get out of my own imagination so I can think right all the time. You know what? But there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to get what's rightfully his, and it's going to be a great day to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for me, get that throne and get what's rightfully his. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for this book that shows us the way to live also, not just the way to salvation, but the way to live, in a way that's pleasing in thy sight. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to guide our heart in the way, in the book. Help us keep our thoughts and our imaginations under control. Help us stick by the stuff and be faithful to thee. Let's go to 337. if anyone feels that the Lord's dealing with them in any way, shape, or form, we'll leave the altar open. If anybody's out there that has not truly been saved and is a little uncomfortable with where they're at, I pray that you'd come forward. There's many here that could show you the way to salvation according to the book. And I don't know what the Lord's dealing with in your hearts today. I pray that this sermon help you, get you closer to the Lord. And I know myself, I know my own heart, and I know that my thoughts, they my imaginations, they run wild at times, and I know the struggle that I have. So I know if I struggle, that you struggle. Let's go to the third verse. Could you end us in prayer? Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming, everybody.